Hey there, this is Pastor Stu, and I just wanted to personally thank you for being part of our church online. We hope these podcasts have been an encouragement and challenge to you, and we further hope this podcasting will complement your involvement in the local church as you give, serve, love, and are accountable to a church family wherever you are. If you want any more information about Encounter or how to get involved here, please click on the contact link or the giving link if you'd like to get involved in that way. Now let's get into the Word together.
You may be seated. Well, it's good to be here. Good to see y'all again. Again, like I said, for those of you that weren't here at the beginning of worship, which is a lot of you apparently, we're starting a new series today. It's called Reset. How many of you have ever had to hit the reset button on anything on your computer? Like this past week, our Wi-Fi was going so slow, I was not able to watch Netflix. This is a big problem, right? And so I was like, okay, how do we get this? And sure enough, it's like, hit the reset button. I'm like, thank you, Lord. This is what our new series is called. Because let's be honest, sometimes things slow down. They're not as efficient. They don't work like they're supposed to work. And what we need to do is we need to stop, turn off the Wi-Fi for 5 minutes, and let it reset. And we need to do that in our lives. We need to do that in our families sometimes. We need to do that in our spiritual lives, physically. You know, the 2019, I know gym memberships are up. We could probably ask Jeremy and Trey all about that. I'm sure they could give you some statistics on that. But this is that time of year where we think about, what's my next year going to look like? What do I want to define me in 2019? And I know you all have different goals. I want to do better this at work. I want to do this with my family. I want to do this with my body. I want to do this with... But what we're going to do this series is we're going to really just hit that reset button on our spiritual lives, be honest with ourselves, and see if we can allow the Holy Spirit to flow more freely through us like we were created for. But sin gets in the way, our lives get in the way, busyness gets in the way, and we're not fully living because sometimes we're so busy doing that we never reset. That, you know, another illustration of this, we're so busy using the axe that we don't stop to sharpen it. And we've slowed down, we've forgotten why. So that's what our goal is going to be for this whole month. We want to hit the reset button. I want your prayer life in particular to be more vibrant. I want it to be, like, exciting. I want you to see miracles. I want you to experience God as you're talking with him. I don't want it to be the mundane, okay, God, I got to pray now. Let's see, what do I pray for, right? We've all been there. Let's just be honest about that. We've all been there. And if we're honest with ourselves, very few of us, if we had to rank our own prayer lives, rank your own, think of it in your head. I'm not going to ask you, okay, scale of 1 to 10, how's your prayer life? I'm not going to ask you, okay, ones get over here, tens get right down here. I'm not going to do that, but we all know in our life, where is your prayer life compared to where you would like it to be? What do you think about your own prayer life? I want you to be honest with yourself. When I was in high school, I was first challenged how to pray. Because to be honest with you, praying more than just like asking a few wish list type things, like my Santa Claus list. Once it got past a few on that, I didn't really know what a prayer life was, and I was challenged by my youth pastor to develop a prayer life, and I was like, I don't even know what that looks like. And so what would happen is at the end of Bible study, we would pray, and we'd pray out loud, and there'd be like 10 or 15 people in there, and sometimes they'd be like, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to go around the circle. Any of you ever do the circle prayer? And you go around the circle, and if you're at the end of the circle, what are you thinking? You're like, okay, I'm coming up in four times. So what can I pray for? I got to think of it. I got to have a really good one so I can seem super spiritual, right? And then someone steals it right before you. You're like, oh! And the whole time that you're supposed to be praying, you're thinking about what you're going to pray for. You're not really praying. And then you're like, man, they're a really good prayer. Why do I have to go after them? And have you ever been by that KJV prayer that you're like, dang, I can't keep up? And so we compare our prayer lives to others. I remember we were challenged by our youth pastor. I want you to spend just 10 minutes in prayer. I'm like, just 10 minutes? Are you kidding me? I can't think of much more than a minute. I don't have that much material, you know? And I remember when I was given that, I was just challenged. I was I know if I want to be spiritual, I love God. I just don't know how to spend more than 10 minutes with him. I mean, I can read a passage of scripture for more than 10 minutes and sometimes not fall asleep. But, you know, I mean, if I'm honest with you, that's where I was. And what we want to do is we want to take your prayer life through this series, through this month, and we want to refresh it. Lou's going to come up and share with you at the end about some materials that we have for y'all that we want to send to you. We want to want to email to you to help you out with that. But today, what I want to do is I kind of debated through what I was going to teach through. I have a lot that the Lord's been putting on my heart, but what I want to do today is the current method that I have been using for prayer that has really just refreshed me. Okay? And oddly enough, it's found in the Old Testament. Okay? So it's going to sound odd. I debated sharing this with you because it's not maybe quite as user-friendly as some. But what I want to, this one has been so refreshing to me. I just said, I need to share it with y'all. As I prayed through it, I really felt good about it. It comes from the Old Testament. A pastor in Alabama, I first heard it from him and really was like, this is interesting. It's a little bit complex. And so but then I started thinking through it and I was like, oh my goodness, this is so real, so refreshing. This is the method actually that God gave to his people in the Old Testament. How many of you remember a little thing called the tabernacle? Or a lot of you have heard of it, but you're like, I don't know the difference between tabernacle and temple. I don't know fully what it is. Basically what the tabernacle is when the Israelites were not quite living in the promised land, the land that they're supposed to be at, they're kind of nomadic at this point, and they're living in Egypt, and they're making their way to this promised land. God revealed himself to them through worship, through this thing called the tabernacle. And what they do, I have a picture of it here, but there's this tabernacle. There you go. There's a picture of it right there. And what they would do is even when they were wandering for 40 years in the wilderness, when they would come to a new stop, they would set up this thing right here that I can't imagine was easy to set up. But they set up this place of worship, and this was how they would relate to God, okay? And so they would set it up, and they had specific instructions. God gave them specific instructions in the Torah. This is how you're supposed to come to me. And there was the exact size of it, and there was 50 cubits. And so it had all the specific size of it. It had specific articles that were supposed to be in it, a lot of different pieces of furniture that were in there, veils that were in there. There's an outer tent, as you can see, and then there's an inner tent that this picture doesn't fully, you know, it's opened up so you can see inside it, but there was an outer tent and an inner tent. And so what would happen is if you want to come to God, the illustration that God said in order for you to come to me was, and they had this tabernacle. And what, so the method that I want to give you today is called the tabernacle prayer, okay? And I hope you guys will take notes because this has literally, it has been just so refreshing to me, a guy who's prayed regularly for 35 years, you know, since I was like 10. And so this has been very refreshing to me. But what I want to do is I want to explain to you what the tabernacle is like that you can understand what the purpose of this tabernacle was. And then even on your notes, we have a few points on there so you don't have to write them down over multiple times, but that'll help you to understand the purpose of these different spots. So you'd enter into the tabernacle, and before you'd do anything else, you'd walk through that front door right there, the gate of the court, and you'd go into the outer court. And it's just wide open outer court. And in the outer court, David says this, and a lot of the people would say, what you do is you enter the courts with thanksgiving. You probably have heard Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, give thanks to him, bless his name. And so before you do anything else, before you come with your list, before you give, what you do is before you say, here's what I need from you, God, here's my deficiencies, God, you say, here's what I'm thankful for, God. And so the outer courts, if you write it down, Outer Courts Thanksgiving. I think it might already be written down for you. Is it already written down for you? There you go. So before you do anything else, it's gratitude. It's Thanksgiving. Because gratitude is a healthy emotion. It actually has been proven medically to be a healthy emotion. What it does is it turns what you have into enough. Sometimes what we do is we think we need more. And there's been this weird movement lately in our materialistic culture that always has, we have so much stuff and all we have to do is get online. You guys could go shopping right now in the next 5 minutes and get things delivered to your house in the next couple of days. That's where our culture is right now with the touch of a button. You don't even have to move and you can have things given to you. It's crazy. And so we have gotten so full of so much stuff that there's this new movement out, this decluttering of our lives, right? And we've been so over-cluttered that we do not function the way we're supposed to function because what we do is we always see the things that we need, and because we're so busy seeing the things that we need, we never have enough. And this outer courts area is just Thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for what I have. I have some things I need. Yes, I'm going to get with you on that. But what I currently have is enough. And God, if you never do another thing for me, if you never give me another thing, I have been so blessed and I'm so thankful for what I have. I have salvation that I do not deserve. I'm able to have this freedom to live in this way. I have this home. I have these family members. I have these friends. This is what we do in this first section of our prayer lives. And this is where we must start. And so when you enter into the temple and you'd get to these outer courts, you would just have thanksgiving. God, thank you for all these things that I have, even if you never give me another thing, even if I don't get the job that I really like, even if that relationship that I hope works out doesn't work out, even if this health situation isn't resolved the way I want it resolved, I am content with you. See, our culture is so entitled. We think we need more things that we aren't content. And our entitlement has caused us to become more discontented. We have more stuff than any culture in history, and we are more discontented than any culture in history. And it's a very sad place, and it's because we have not understood the art of gratitude. Enter his thanks with thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. And this is what we do in the outer courts. We give thanksgiving. So this is where I want you to begin starting your prayer life. If you want to get a picture of this, I can even send it to you on email. I'd be happy to send you a picture of this, the courts, the temple yard, the tabernacle yard. I'd be happy to send you that so you can think through as you're praying. This is what I do. I start off, Lord, I'm going to the outer courts. I'm thankful, and I just list things that I'm thankful for. I want to challenge us to begin our prayer lives this way. Just thank him for what we have before we ask for anything. But then what would happen is you'd walk in, and you would go, and the next thing you'd see is you'd come across the first piece of furniture here. And you've got right there that brazen altar. Now, a lot of times what would happen is there would be all around the brazen altar, there would be different pieces of furniture. They're slaughter tables, okay? And so if you were walking in the literal tabernacle, what would happen is you would begin to smell blood. You would begin to see bloody things around you. It wouldn't look quite as pretty as our below us right now, the entry to our church, because it would be very bloody and it'd be very gross. Because what happens is the next place you would see is you would see the brazen altar. And the brazen altar, the purpose of this is the blood sacrifice. And so when you think brazen altar, think blood. That sounds awkward. Sounds odd. I'm going to show you a picture of it next. This picture that I have is it says some different, there's a lot of different scripture on it. You can see right here. It's made of wood. There's always a fire on the altar at all times. So there's a burnt offering going on at all times. The Israelites made daily sacrifices to Yahweh on that altar. Whatever touched the altar became holy, and you can see some other names of it. But what ends up happening here is there's all, you'd walk into the temple gates and you'd see blood, you would smell smoke, and you're reminded of your need for a blood sacrifice. And so what we do when we're talking about a prayer life, you're walking into the outer gates and you're thankful for this, you're thankful for that. God, even if you don't give me another thing, I'm thankful because of who you are, and you've blessed me so greatly. And then we start focusing on the blood of Jesus. The gospel message simply says, you see, we don't believe as Christians that good thoughts do awesome things, okay? My good thoughts don't really, that good vibes, I don't really believe in good vibes. I don't believe that my fancy words do anything. I don't actually believe that if I have a great prayer recipe, it even matters. What I believe is I believe that my sin has separated me from the Holy of Holies. My sin has separated me from God. And my sin has earned separation, has earned death. And what it says is the wages of sin are death. And so something has to die in my place for me to have my life restored, for me to be able to communicate with God once again. Okay? So this is what Scripture teaches, and this is what the gospel teaches. And the gospel further says that Jesus came, he lived a perfect life that he could die in my place. It's not, I don't believe Christians are the better way because I'm from America. I believe that Jesus is the only one that paid the price for my sins, and therefore he's the only way to heaven, just because that was the penalty. And Allah never claimed that, neither did Buddha, you know. So this is what we do is the only way that I can approach God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so when you go to your prayer time, Jesus would say in the New Testament, we pray in Jesus' name. And what we're simply doing is we're praying under his authority, but the gospel message simply says we need a blood sacrifice in order to be redeemed. And so Hebrews 10 says it like this. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places, how? By the blood of Jesus. That's very small. wow. We'll work on that next week. By the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. See, we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. This is what gives us that confidence. And so the brazen altar is the blood sacrifice of the Old Testament that looks forward to the fulfillment through Jesus Christ in the New Testament. So we're looking at an Old Testament picture here, but it's already been fulfilled in us. Isn't that awesome? And so I want you to begin getting in the habit of saying, Lord, I enter the gates with thanksgiving. I'm thankful for everything, even if you don't give me another thing. But Lord, it's only through the blood of Jesus that I'm able to come to you. I want you to hit your knees, recognize how far naturally you are from God. I want to challenge us. We don't hit our knees in fear of being zapped. That's not what this is about. We are confident, as we see from that Hebrews passage, but we're confident because we are reverent for the cross. We know that it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ that we're able to come before God. So we're just so thankful, and we pray in confidence because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So what it looks like, God, when I'm ready to get to the second part of my prayer life, my mind is so corrupt. I mess up all the time with this and that, and cleanse me, God. Heal me. Make me more like you. Thank you so much for the cross, and maybe at this point I might even just sing a song about the cross. I'd probably do it silently, but maybe if you're a journaler, you could write something about the cross, but basically, it's only through Jesus that I have life. It's only through Jesus that I can approach you, God. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you that I can pray. And I reflect on the cross. So now let's go back to that same picture again of the tabernacle. So we go to our next little piece that we see here, and there's this thing called a laver, which I don't even know what a laver is. I don't use that word a lot. But basically, the laver is this next point. And then the laver, what we're going to do is we're going to offer our body to God. Okay, so So if you write that down, point three, laver, offer your body. So we've had Thanksgiving, we've remembered blood, and now we're offering a body. I want to show you a picture of what the laver is. It's sometimes called the bronze laver, but you can see right here in Exodus 38:8, it's made from mirrors. So what happens is it's this bowl that's filled with water, but it's made from mirrors. So when you go to cleanse yourself, the goal is you're supposed to clean yourself. The priest washed in the basin in preparation for service to the Lord. So as you're approaching the throne of God, as you're approaching God's presence, this is what prayer is. What we do is we're able to wash our hands, but as we're washing, we see the parts that we're washing. And I think this is interesting to me because what the priest would do is they'd wash their hands and they'd look at the dirt on their hands and see it gone. They'd wash their face, and it's made of mirrors, so you're seeing what you're washing, and you're washing individual body parts. And so what this has taught me has been the laver. When I think about the laver, we're offering individual parts of our body to be washed and to be used for God's glory and for God's service. Before I came to Evansville to plant this church, I was down in Alabama, and there's a guy named David Nasser that I met with who's a great guy. He's now the chaplain of Liberty University, but he's a great dude. And he was just giving me all sorts of advice, and we had lunch for like 2.5 hours, and just here, when you plant a church, when you this, he goes, I want to pray for you. And again, like I said, I learned some of these methods from down when I was in Alabama. But when he prayed for me, it was the first time I'd ever had anyone pray for me like this. He's like, do you mind if I touch you? And I'm like, okay, maybe. and he put his hand on my head and began praying for my head. And he put both hands on, and I don't have as much protection as some of you guys have, so I'm feeling his hands on there. And he's just praying for my mind. God, just clean his mind, renew his mind. And then he put his hands right here, and he's like, and may his eyes see as you see. And then he touched my ears. May he hear your voice speaking to him. And he touched my nose, which is very awkward. And he began, and he's like, Lord, may he take in things that are pleasing to you. May he speak. He didn't fully touch my lips, which was good. But he began touching individual parts of my body and praying for those things, and it was very powerful. And since then, I've done that quite a bit with a little less invasion of privacy. But what I try to do when I get to this third part of prayer, when I go to the laver, and I just pray, Lord God, my head is, I think about some bad thoughts. I need you to cleanse my brain that can honor you better. Lord, may my eyes honor you. Lord, there's so many distractions in this world, and I get distracted so easily. Lord, I come to you today. Will you cleanse my eyes? Will you help me to see things that honor you? Will you help me to hear your voice more clearly? And I touch my ears, and I pray for my ears. Will you strengthen my shoulders? I carry some burdens for my family. I carry some burdens for the church, and I'm not strong enough. I'm a weak person. You know that, God. Will you strengthen my back? Will you strengthen my shoulders? God, my hands, I use them for myself too often. God, will you please just cleanse my hands? They might be used for your sake. They might be used for your glory. My knees, will you strengthen them that I can pray for more people, that I can stand in the gap for so many people that need it? Will you strengthen my legs? Will you strengthen my feet as I don't feel like walking in certain directions someday because I'm tired? And I will begin to just offer the individual parts of my body for his service that day. And this has been a beautiful practice that helps refocus me because I'm just naturally a selfish dude. And God is able to use this to refocus me each day. And some days I might spend more time than others, but before I go to a meeting I'm not excited about, Lord God, I just pray that you'd give me the strength to stand up in this meeting. Will you guard my mind that I can give good advice, good wisdom, listen well? Will you guard my mouth that I won't just speak very poorly? And some of you need to get in this habit. Before you check your email, Lord, guide my fingers that I do not respond too quickly And then I might listen to you, guard my mind because I don't like this person right here. And I want to challenge you today, before I return my emails, before I check social media, before I get to work, before I talk with my family in the morning because I'm grumpy and I haven't had my coffee, will you go through and cleanse yourself in the mirrored basin, looking at every body part and offering it to the Lord for his glory? I think it's going to change you. I just really do. And I hope that it will. You say, well, this is an Old Testament thing. I'm already clean. I'm Jesus' blood. You just talked about that just a second ago. Yes, you are. But in the New Testament, Romans 12 says this. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, and what is acceptable, and what is perfect. That's Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. See, in the Old Testament, they would offer dead animals. In the New Testament, you're the offering. So you're going from that offering, that blood place, to the laver. You're saying, I'm the offering, God. Cleanse me that I might be a pure offering. So now we go, and we keep walking, and we go into this inner place. And then there's a tent. There's a smaller tent inside there, inside the outer courts. And you enter in there, and the first thing that you're going to see is you're going to see this candlestick, this menorah, and you've probably seen pictures of these. And these candles, what they would do is they're all made out of gold, and there's six branches, and they're burning all the time with pure olive oil. And so you're going to see these flames in here. And in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the flames symbolize the Holy Spirit that is going to come in the Old Testament to these people. So they're looking forward to this. They probably don't fully understand, but they're looking forward to this. But in the New Testament, now looking backwards, we remember the Holy Spirit. So number four is candlestick. But the thing that you're supposed to be reminded of is the Holy Spirit. So at this point in my prayer life, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to just lead and guide me with all that I say and with all that I do. And I want to ask you to be in the habit of asking the Holy Spirit to work in you. Matthew 3:11 says, as for me, this is John the Baptist talking, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So what we're doing when we think about this fourth part is we're inviting the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. We're inviting the Holy Spirit to just flow through us. Now, the Holy Spirit, I could give a whole series on the job of the Holy Spirit, and there's a lot of confusion on his job, so we just kind of ignore him, right? And so, but to keep it simple, the things that I would ask you to do, all of you have been given spiritual gifts and abilities, and God's Holy Spirit enables them in you. So I would ask you to pray for God to fan into flame the gifts, as Timothy prayed, or as Paul prayed for Timothy, the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life. What gifts do you have? What spiritual gifts has God given you? God, Holy Spirit, help me to use my spiritual gifts for your glory. Got it? So that might be a way you can pray. If you're taking notes, you can just even put, you know, like by Holy Spirit gifts. Holy Spirit, convict me of my sin. Lord, you know my tendencies in this particular area. Will you convict me before I get too far? My desires, will you convict me through your Holy Spirit when I get to the desire phase before it gives birth to sin, please? Because I'm not strong enough. Holy Spirit convicts of sin. The Holy Spirit reminds you of what to say sometimes. Holy Spirit, bring to mind your word. Bring to mind help me to understand this person that I'm about to talk with. Help me to understand what's going on behind his actions that I don't like. Holy Spirit, will you just guide me as I meet with her? Because right now she really, it's beyond what I can help with. And so what we do is the Holy Spirit reminds us what to say, and I just say, Holy Spirit, as I walk through the day, will you speak, not me? I don't want my words. My words are not good. Yours are pure and yours are holy. And I would also maybe pray, you could write down my Holy Spirit fruit. I might pray for, God, I want spiritual fruit in my life, not physical fruit. I know I can get more stuff. I know I can chase money. I know I can get revenge. I know I can, this is what my heart naturally wants to get. But Lord, instead, I want love. I want joy. I want peace. I want patience. I want kindness. I want goodness. I want gentleness. And we pray, Lord, will you please just allow your Holy Spirit to produce fruit in my life rather than me? Spirit, show me how to even pray. And this is what we do when we look at the candlestick. We rely on the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I hope that we can each rely on the Holy Spirit more. As you do that, you're going to see your life change. I pray for our church. Holy Spirit, will you build our church? I don't want our church to be built on a social media craze. There are entirely too many churches that are built on the power of money. There are entirely too many churches that are built on the power of individual gifts and individual abilities. And there are entirely too many churches these days built on the power of social media. And God, I don't have a problem with those things, but I want your power to be seen through your Holy Spirit. So God, may we not build this church on social media. May we not build this church on my abilities, on these guys' abilities, and on our bank account. May we build it on your Spirit working, and I don't want to go if you're not going to go before me. And we have to pray that, and I want to encourage you guys to pray for your church. There are, let's put it this way, there's a lot of ways to get deceived by churches in our culture these days. May we not build on the wrong things, because what's happening is there's entirely too many people that are seeing the fruits of the churches that are built the wrong way, and we're getting mad at church, and we're saying, well, God might not be real. No, we're getting the fruits of what we reap. And I don't want our church to do that. And we will, because we're imperfect. But I don't want us to be built on all these awesome things that we can do and these books that we read and these techniques that we did and the momentum of this and that. Holy Spirit, I need you to build the church. I just want to be a good steward of what you've given me. This is how I pray for y'all as a church. Will you pray that way in your life and your family and your workplace? You have a choice. You can live your life on your own power, or you can live your life in the Holy Spirit's power. You can be content to pay your bills, to go to work, to live for yourself, to throw a little bit in the offering here today and do your work on your own, or you can cleanse yourself of your sin. You can depend on the Holy Spirit and see your life expand. That's what I want for you. I want the Holy Spirit working in your life that you can experience him and that you might be able to bring God's glory to this city that desperately needs it, that is searching, that is confused in so many ways. Beg for the Holy Spirit to move in you. Candlestick, Holy Spirit. Let's keep going. So you keep walking through the tabernacle. The next thing you come to is this table of showbread. It's spelled S-H-E-W there. I've seen it spelled S-H-O-W. All I know is what you see is you see a table of fresh baked bread, okay? So you walk in, and you get this fresh baked bread that they put in every day. And what it is it says, well, every Sabbath the priests would eat of it, but there's 12 loaves of showbread set on pure gold plates, and it's holy bread. And what it is throughout Scripture we see the Word of God symbolized by bread, bread of life. Matthew 4, when Satan's tempting Jesus in the wilderness, he answers, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is our bread. And so what I'll oftentimes do in this fifth part of my prayer life, and this one sometimes, to be honest with you, I might remind myself of a few promises and then get back to actually reading a little bit more later, but interrupt the prayer time with just being reminded of the promises of the Word of God. And so I'll sometimes just open up the Bible and begin reading a little bit. I'll read a psalm. I'll read some Proverbs. I'll do my daily Bible reading, whatever it is. But what we do is, as part of your prayer life, I want to ask you to listen to God speaking to you through his word. As part of your prayer life, I want you to learn about God's character. We're not praying based on anything other than the Lord's character. And sometimes We're taught to pray things. The culture says pray certain things that are not biblical at all, and we're not praying to the biblical God at all. And I want to ask you to refine yourself by learning about his character. Learn about God's promises. Pray back his promises. We see Abraham doing that. We see Moses doing that. We see David doing that throughout scriptures. Will you pray back his promises? I believe he delights in that. I know that when I was talking to my wife about even this sermon today, she said, my favorite part, and I don't think you emphasize it enough sometimes, is God's word. You read it so often, you take it for granted. Just, I need to hear that, and people like me need to hear that. We need time in the word because God's word sanctifies us. It's a biblical concept. God's word, be sanctified in the truth. Your word is truth. And so I'm going to ask you to take some time reading God's word. And so the table of showbread, the word of God. Pray back, read his word, apply it, allow it to transform you. Some of you don't even know where to begin. I want to ask you, a lot of you, you have out your phones right now or your tablets or whatever, and you might have the YouVersion. There's a reading plan in there. Pick one of those reading plans. It's a very simple thing that all of you have for free. If theoretically all of you have for free. YouVersion. Download that app, and you can see reading plans. Whether you have a minute or 20, you can read one proverb. You might want to read through. There's 31 chapters of Proverbs. Read through one a day of the month and just keep going over and over and over. Read through the Psalms and just begin to worship God through that. Get an app. There's good. Paul Tripp is my favorite devotional. New Morning Mercies. The Blue Book devotional is one of my wife's favorite ones. And if you're looking for a good devotional, you can get one of those. But make sure it's God's word. And this is what we do. We allow ourselves to be sanctified by the truth of God's word. Okay, couple more. So we go past the table of showbread, the word. And the next thing we see is that the golden altar or the altar of incense. And this is incense. It's always burning, and it's the prayers of the saints. It's the worship of the saints. And we see throughout scriptures, we see a lot of places where the sweet incense, the sweet aroma of adoration, of worship of God, and rightly placed worship is what we're going to do here. So the altar of incense is worship. And what it is there's a difference between entering his courts with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is thanking God for what he has done, okay? Adoration is praising him or thanking him for who he is, okay? So this is for stuff he does, the thanksgiving, but adoration is, God, I just praise you because you're holy. I praise you because you're just. I praise you because you're compassionate when I do not deserve it, God. I praise you because you are holy. Your ways are right. You're created to worship. And you know this if you've ever been to a concert, if you've ever been to a football game, if you've ever been to something that makes people get up and cheer. You're created for that, but those things don't long-term fulfill you. God is meant to long-term fulfill you because we're created for worship. And your football team might let you down, maybe. One of you will do well each year. Some of you guys get a little more often. Bama fans, jerks. Anyway, we're created to worship, but we will never be fulfilled by the worship of things of this earth if it's not rightly placed. So worship the Lord with all of your heart. Ascribe your worth to God. When you talk about how he fills you, talk about his perfect attributes. And when we do this, we place ourselves in the proper relationship to God. God, you are worthy. I put myself in your position today. I'm sorry for that. You are worthy. And we put God in his proper position, and we worship him. And we do this maybe on our knees. Psalm 95, verse 6 says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our maker. And I'll just spend some time in worshiping him, and I want to challenge you to please do that with your life. I want to challenge you to do this with your prayer life. And it's after we get to this point. I do have a quote that from Chris Hodges says this: if you do this on his knees, a man on his face can never fall from that position. A man on his face can never fall from that position. When we rightly worship God, we just are down on our knees, and we can't fall when we're down on our knees. We rightly place ourselves, and now we're finally ready to enter into the Holy of Holies, which is God's presence. And next week, what we're going to do is we're going to come and talk to you about what do we ask for? How do we pray? How do we rightly pray? And what are the things that we should be praying for? So again, I want to reiterate that we start. Let's go back to a picture of the tabernacle again. I just want to reiterate this real quickly before we end. And we're going to the outer courts with what? What do we do in the outer courts? Thanksgiving, thank you. And then the next thing we go to the altar, the brazen altar, and what do we think about there? Blood sacrifice, blood of Jesus Christ. The next thing we go to is the laver, and what is that we do? Okay, you offer your body, the individual parts of your body, and then you see the candlestick and you see the flames that represent good. And so you're asking the Holy Spirit to move in your life, and then you see the bread, and what is the bread? The Word. And then we get to this altar of incense, and we see this altar of incense, the smoke going up, which is what? Adoration and worship. Yeah, so we worship Him. And then finally we're ready. And what I want you to see from this is now we're ready to come before God with our request, because the preparation is more important than the list. Todd Hinkle sent me this past week, and for me, the preparation can take 5 minutes, it can take 20 minutes, it can take an hour. It just depends on what the day looks like and some other things. But Francis Chan says, Todd sent me something that said, Francis Chan was asked what's the biggest key to your effective prayer life? And I'm like, there's no one key. And then Chan says it like this. He says, the most important key is humility. And his quote was, unfortunately, most people don't understand what an honor it is to come before the throne of God. Instead, I hear people that almost act like they're doing God a favor by showing up to a service. We're so used to people begging you to show up for a prayer meeting, he says. So when they finally attend, everyone's patting them on the back and they end up feeling pretty good about themselves. But we can't approach the throne like that. We must come humbly before God's throne. Just think to yourself, are you kidding me that I get to do this right now? Unreal. I'm about to come before God in prayer. This is awesome. This is what I hope that you will get from today's lesson. The preparation is so important. It's more important than the list. And when you prepared your heart right, what ends up happening is your heart has become so conformed to His that you have this pure heart. And there's this verse that often gets misrepresented and misused, and you've probably heard it. Delight yourself in the Lord, and what? He will give you the desires of your heart. It's a great verse. But we forgot the delight yourself in the Lord. We think, this is awesome. If I do this, I get what God wants. No, what happens is God changes your heart so much that you see what He wants. That's what prayer's about. We're going to end. I'm going to have Lou come up. This month, we have a challenge for y'all. I want you to commit yourself to praying every day this month. We're going to talk about prayer every Sunday this month, and we have a little resource for you as well. The worship team, you can come up as well.
Well, thank you, Sue. Thanks for that really good teaching. We got some pretty good instructions this morning, and I hope you were taking notes. One of the things that Stu began with was when he said, I don't even know where to begin. And what we want to do is to be able to equip you well to know where to begin. So what we've done is we've created kind of a prayer primer to you. And this morning we use the Old Testament as a guide, and an excellent teaching in that. This prayer guide will be using the Lord's Prayer as a guide to deepen your understanding of prayer. And so what we've done is we've broken down the main components of the Lord's Prayer, and we want to focus each day of the week on one particular aspect. As you see the graphic there, that on Monday we want to do a short prayer a short teaching on when we say our Father, what does that mean? And we want you to pray all the elements of the Lord's Prayer, but we want you to take some time and deepen your understanding of what our Father means. On Tuesday, we want to equip you that instead of just saying, hallowed be your name, going through some of the names that God has revealed about himself to us and deepen our understanding so that when we say, you know, God, my stronghold, God, my defender, Lord, my banner, those aren't just names for our instructions. Those are names that deepen our time of worship as well. When we say on Wednesday, will be each Wednesday of the month of January will be a time of where we learn a little bit more of what it means to pray your kingdom come. What do we pray for? Obviously, we pray for the Lord's return, but we also pray for God to do something in our heart as well so the kingdom deepens in our heart as well as in our city. Thursday, we go into the teaching of give us this day our daily bread. What do I pray for? Who do I pray for? How do I pray for them? Those are all really good. And then the Friday teaching will be forgive us our trespasses, and we'll go into short teachings on each one. You can find this, if you have ever gone to the church website to hear the Sunday morning sermon, right underneath the link to the sermon will be the link to the prayer primary. It will change every week. So when we say, I don't even know where to begin, that's a good place to start, but we want to take you a little bit further from that. I'm excited about hearing what Stu has to say, but I'm hoping you'll also take these to heart and actually use them to deepen your prayer life.
Absolutely. One more thing on that. We definitely would love, there's a PDF that's on our webpage. We'll send it to you in your email if you will just even fill this out today and just put, maybe put a little thing on the notes on the back, questions or comments, just put prayer guide. And we'll put a list together and we'll send that out each week. We're going to have 5 days that we could send out today if you wanted it. And then it'll be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Next week we'll have a different one. The next week we'll have a different one. And we're trying to get you into a pattern, into a habit that your prayer life will increase and be more effective as well during the month of January. So just fill this out real quick if you want. We're going to do communion right now, but right after that we'll have offering, and I'm going to ask you to turn in both of these things. All we need is your email address and your name and the little note, prayer guide. Let me pray for us. We're going to end our time together with communion. I'm going to ask the communion people to come forward, and we're going to remember the Lord. As we have the bread, we're going to remember his body, his perfect life he lived on this earth. And as we dip it into the cup, that's the cup of wrath, that's his blood that we're going to remember. And we're going to do this in remembrance of him. Let's pray. Lord God, I am thankful for you. Thankful for your blood sacrifice, Jesus. I'm thankful that we get to come before the God of the universe in prayer every day. What a privilege that is. May we be people who seek your kingdom in this earth and in our lives, Lord. May you transform our hearts from selfish people that get what we're capable of to people that depend on you and you give us more than we're capable of seeing. May we please you with our lives. And as we end this service through communion, may we reflect and glorify you who has given us so much. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll have you guys come forward.